Let's say hello to our old friend from WGN Channel 9. It is Tom Skilling. I haven't talked to you forever. How are you?
Pete McMurray, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I'm doing well. How are you doing? It has been too long. You know, you are always so great. You extend invitations. And, you know, I'm just like a crazy man over here getting ready for, you know, graphics ready for the TV. And so it never seems to jive, but we've gotten together finally. And how about that? Right in the midst of COVID-19 on top of it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, congratulations on everything. I'm glad you're healthy and safe.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling? We haven't talked in person, so I want to know from your mouth, how are you feeling?
Oh, I feel wonderful, Pete. You know, I had that gastric bypass.
Yes.
I'm down 82 pounds now. Pete, I've got to be honest with you. The whole thing is amazing. You do 6 months of prep, and I had no idea how I feel, but I feel great. I'm eating little 2 and 3 ounce meals, which sounds horrible. It isn't. They're protein oriented.
Yep.
And I don't feel hungry. They staple off 7/8 of your stomach and then divide your intestines in two and route it to the lower. So you've cut volume and you've cut the processing area in your abdominal tract. And the bottom line is, it's like miracle. The pounds drop off. And thank goodness. I got to the point, Pete, I needed help. And no amount of dieting or exercising would have done it all by itself. Not for me. So it's nice of you to ask.
Well, good for you, Tom. Think about that. 82 pounds that you don't have to carry around anymore. You have to feel fantastic.
It's amazing. You know what I keep thinking of? I remember when Oprah Winfrey lost all that weight.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember she wheeled out this huge plastic sack of chicken parts, and said, here's the equivalent of what I've lost. And, you know, you have no idea what there is to lose until you see it, you know, put across like that. But it's terrific. I was going into first stage diabetes. And my father was heavy. I come by it naturally. It's, in the genes.
Right.
And ultimately suffered a terrible stroke. And I thought, I watched what he went through, the poor devil. And I thought, if there's any way to avoid that, I'm going to try. So we'll see what happens with it. But it's going well. It really is.
Well, Tom, do you have to buy new clothes? If you lost 82 pounds, you need a new tailor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what's amazing? I've got a lot of casual stuff I had sitting in the closet, figuring I'd never, ever, ever, ever again get close to getting into it. And it's a joy to put it on and actually fit in it. And in terms of, formal clothes, I bought new suits. And now what's interesting is the weight loss continues, so you re-alter those to keep up with the bus and weight. The joy it is to be going that way instead of the other way, which had been the case for a time. It's a fascinating. I said to my doctor, how in heaven's name did you guys in the medical profession, guys and gals, ever figure out how to do this? And
right.
He just smiled. It is amazing what they can do with modern medicine.
Well, Tom, they change lives. I mean, look at just hearing your voice, how happy you sound. I mean, you've lost 82 pounds. What's the end game? How much weight do you want to lose? What's perfect for you?
Well, you know what? I thought they say that this goes on about a year after your operation. My surgery was in early March. And I was thinking of getting down to, under 200. They say the ideal weight for somebody of my height is 190, in that range.
Okay.
So I'm going to, try and do that. But we'll see what happens. I'll kind of let nature take its course and religiously stick by the diet and all. But, people are probably getting tired of hearing me talk about it. But it I'm telling you, it's a fascinating process to watch. You're very curious yourself about how you're going to feel, how it's, whether it's going to work, and to see it actually doing it, it's pretty amazing.
Right.
It really is. I'd highly recommend anybody who's thinking about it and maybe put it off, because I had pondered this for several years, and I finally thought, I'm going to take the plunge. I talked to my my doctor, and I said, you know, I'm thinking of this. She said, you're a candidate. And so the rest is history. Went down to Northwestern, and boy, they have a great group down there, and that's where it was done.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's a game changer, which is fantastic. Now, since you lost 82 pounds, are you walking? Are you moving around more because you feel better?
Yeah, you know, we've all been pretty sequestered with this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And particularly after the surgery, I've been careful. And the station told us they want us all staying home. They're starting now to open up a bit, but I work from home, which frankly scared the living daylights out of me because, working with this technology, if there's any way for things to go wrong, and, these computers and all seem to read my DNA when I get close to them. They think, oh, here's loser. Let's malfunction.
You and me both. I get it.
But it actually has worked pretty well. And, you know, the wonderful thing about the home weather office, I'm up here on the north side, is I have a window. Pete, it's amazing. I've done this for 50 years, half a century.
Right.
And I never had an operative window in my office. I had beautiful TV monitors that showed me, in a way, were better than a window because they were from cameras up on the Hancock or Willis Tower or something like that. But I never had a window that I could actually open and have real live air blowing in on me and look out the window and see what's going on. So
it's nice, isn't it?
You know, I remember one of my early weather texts saying, because people say, look out the window when they talk to people in my line of work. Early weather text making a valid point. They said, anything you can see out the window, given the time range you're attempting to forecast the weather, is generally not going to help you all that much. You've got to go to, remote sensing satellites and stuff. And it is true.
Yes.
But it's been fun. It really has to have a window and be working from home.
Right. Tom, I'm going to have you hold on. We're going to check traffic and take a break. But I want to ask you about the Godzilla dust cloud, because I've seen the satellite pictures from NASA, and they're just crazy. And the desert locust. No one can answer the desert locust question if they're going to make it over to the United States. So we'll talk to you about that, too, okay?
All right.
Tom Skilling on the line with us from WGN-TV. Let's take a look at traffic. Lauren? We're talking with Tom Skilling from WGN-TV. Of course, you can see Tom doing the weather. By the way, Joe Donlan getting a new job. That's been all over the news. I would like to volunteer to anchor the 9 o'clock news if you need someone, Tom.
You got it. I'll put in a word for you. And you know how that and about $400,000 will probably get you the job,
Yes.
It's just because, believe me, in the pecking order of people they listen to, I'm not on it, I'm afraid, Pete. So it doesn't do a lot of good, but I'd love working with you. I think it'd be great.
Well, I think we do work well together. Tom, I got to ask you, we had Demetrius Ivory on yesterday, and he tried to explain the Godzilla dust cloud. Can you explain this? How does it start, and how did it make its way over to the Atlantic?
Well, why don't you hear this? We talk about the source region being the Saharan region of northern Africa. The fact is, if you look at satellite imagery, the dust cloud actually started way over in the deserts of western China. And this thing extended more than 12,600 miles, far beyond the, 5,000 from Africa. What happened in Africa and what kept it going was unusually strong easterly winds there. You know, at that latitude, the winds blow from east to west. We call them the tropical easterlies. And they're the wind regime within which hurricanes and tropical storms are embedded. And they run along and just north of the equator by 10 or 20 degrees, up to 30 degrees latitude. So anyway, this thing was propelled by and reinforced by strong winds from the east off Africa. And all wind on the planet is the result of temperature variation. Assume that, abnormal heat relative to cooler temps to the north set up these winds. And the dust cloud goes up to altitudes of 20,000, 30,000 feet. And you watch it on satellite. We have a breed of satellite imagery today we never used to have. I mean, this stuff is incredible.
Right.
And there are all kinds of infrared sensors that look down on it. So you can really take these clouds apart and look at how they're moving. But that's how it started. And you mentioned locusts before. That's another plague on, parts of the African continent. Yeah, this is awful. And this has happened since biblical time, these locust outbreaks. They're driven oftentimes by weather conditions. I guess moist weather is one of the factors. But these things are insidious. They don't bite humans. They just eat everything in their path. And so, you know, this is a region that struggles to produce food anyway for many of its people. So this has been an absolute disaster for them. And it's not occurring just in Africa. It's occurring in parts of the Middle East and even over into Southeast Asia. Now, will they come here? I'm not an insect expert. I do know that, you know, they find dust from Africa that winds up in the Amazon Valley of South America. And in fact, this dust carries nutrients across the Atlantic in the wind into South America. But in terms of locusts, you would think there's a limit to how far they would be blown in the wind.
You would think.
But, yeah. Let's hope so. We don't need that, you know? We've got these killer bees they talk about that are coming up. I don't know what they were told they're not really killer bees, but the last thing we need is a locust infestation.
What is the difference, Tom, between locusts and cicadas? Are they in the same family?
Again, I'll preface these comments by saying I'm not an expert, but apparently there is a difference. And I've read it, and I don't know enough about it to speak authoritatively on it, but there is a difference between the two of them.
Okay.
Whether they're in the same family, you would sure think they would be.
Right.
But again, I'll default to somebody who really knows something about it. Pete, that's a good question to run by our insect folks.
Yes, I'm sure someone's listening that can answer that question. And Tom, back to the Godzilla dust cloud, 3,500 miles long. It's traveled 6,000 miles. So we don't really have to worry about it in Illinois, especially this weekend. But the southern states...
Actually, Pete, we did have dust, and we had some beautiful sunsets, and NASA runs a GEOS model, they call it, G-E-O-S, and this model is good at tracking and predicting the movement of dust clouds. So dust did make it into the Midwest last weekend, and there was satellite imagery where you could see it on the periphery of the thunderstorms. The one good thing about having thunderstorms is they precipitate some of this stuff out. One of the mechanisms that nature uses to cleanse itself.
Wow. Tom, it's amazing that you can answer these questions right off the top of your head. I know you're an expert, a weather expert. You've been doing this for 50 years. Did you ever do anything else before weather? Or did you always want to grow up and be a weather person?
No, I've been a weather crazy since I was a kid. You know, I used to have paper routes, and I saved the little $3 and $4 a week I earned. I always dreamed of buying a bedroom radar set. Never quite reached that one, but I did investigate it. I tell young people, be too dumb to know you're not so able to do what you want to do, and at least try. And so I tried, but I never made it. So now, as an adult, I work with radar, but. You know, it's always fascinated me. I don't know where that came from. Nobody in the family's in this line of work. I had a psychic once tell me that I had been a ship captain in a previous life.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know whether I believe in all that or not, but, it's my parents couldn't figure out what they'd done wrong. You know, just get a weather forecaster.
Were you one of those Were you one of those kids that went over to Radio Shack and got the weather devices and put them together?
Oh, yeah. I remember having a Lionel weather station, and now there are all kinds of amazing electronic weather stations any of us can get. But, oh, and I'd get the catalogs of weather instruments, and I'd look at these weather service approved anemometers and sling psychrometers and stuff like that. Well, I couldn't afford most of the stuff. But, my prize instruments as an early weather enthusiast were the Min-Max thermometer I bought, and then something called a sling psychrometer. This is something you whirl around and you put on.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That's so funny.
Well, that measures humidity.
Okay.
And I remember it cost like $12, which for me was
big money.
Quite an outlay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. And my prize instrument was an anemometer I got. My dad knew somebody who worked for Taylor Instrument Company and got us the thing at half price. I think we paid $50 for it. Well, if you bought it today, it'd be hundreds of dollars. But it was a cheap version of an anemometer is a wind measurement thing. It's those three cups you see spinning out at the airport.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. I know.
And then there are wind vanes, too, and that can measure. There's a little propeller on the front of them. That measures wind speed, too. But, yeah, I used to look at that stuff and dream about it. Nutty, huh?
Oh, my gosh, is that
great. While other kids were going to the ballpark, I got on the train and went into the University of Chicago, and that's where the then Weather Bureau forecast office was, down on Woodland Avenue, and they did the forecasting for Iowa, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan, all out of that one office. And this is pre-computer age. And then they had the radar. The radar was right near the Science and Industry Museum on the south side.
Wow.
It later moved out to Marseilles, and now it's moved to Romeoville, but you had the antenna there. The problem was that put the whole metro area in ground clutter, which wasn't easy to cancel out on those days. So they figured better to move the radar, outside the city, and ultimately did that. But, yeah, that was fun to go down there and see the
What year was that, Tom?
Oh, gosh. This would be the early and mid-60s, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were doing that as a kid.
They had a, yeah. Sounds fun, doesn't it?
I love it.
I had a riot. I thought it was great.
And before you go, you got to give me the 4th of July forecast. What are we looking at this weekend? A lot of people are going to be taking off for Michigan, Wisconsin this weekend. People are going to be staying here. Are we going to see rain, sun, hot and humid?
Hot and humid. I mean, the classic.
Perfect. I'll take it.
4th holiday weekend. And you know what's going to happen, Pete? These thunderstorms, like the ones that popped up yesterday, will pop up in scattered fashion today and tomorrow. We're going to build a big dome of hot air over the center of the country. And as that heat, moves into the upper reaches of the atmosphere, we'll shut down some of the thunderstorm development from all indications. So we're just going to have heat, humidity, light winds, lake breezes right on the shoreline. That'll temper, maybe mid-80s on the shoreline,
yep.
While there'll be low and mid-90s inland, and little light easterly afternoon winds off the lake. But the air will be getting stagnant, so there'll be some haze in the air, and I imagine we'll ultimately have some pollution issues with this kind of pattern, because we're in a U.S. blocking pattern, and things are not going to move very fast.
Well, I'll take the humidity and the sun. I will absolutely take that 100%. Tom, it's great to hear your voice, man. I'm glad we connected this week.
Pete, it's so nice to talk to you. I always enjoy doing that. And look, happy 4th.
You too.
Stay healthy and safe through all this craziness. And I look forward to the next time we talk. Pete.
I do too. Have a great 4th. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Pete.
That is Tom Skilling, everybody. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.